Because the last time we had some, it was pretty devastating. I don't know about everybody, but we, you know, we got to taste a little bit about how it was to live back many years ago. And I can tell you, these kids right over here, they didn't like it very well. For me, it wasn't that big of a deal. It wasn't that bad. The worst part of it was, how many of you have a well? Okay, when the power goes off, you have to carry water to the commode, right, to make it work. Well, that was kind of bad, but, you know, as far as the lights off and this, that, and the other, that wasn't too bad. It made us have to actually get together and do something together for once.
Amen.
Instead of having to get, you know, start playing games and stuff, we had to create some things to do. So, you know, maybe God sends us those things every now and then just to get us back together so we stop long enough to realize, hey, there is more to life than thumbs. Amen?
Amen.
So, but anyhow, it's good to be here today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Jonah chapter 1.
Praise the Lord, hallelujah, amen.
Amen. Weezy covered them all in one sweep there. It's good to see everybody here today. I want to ask you a question while you're finding that. Anybody ever been disobedient in here? Maybe a little bit. Think back. I want you to think back for a few minutes to, some people are laughing pretty hard at that, but think back to some instances where you may have shown some disobedience. Maybe when you were growing up. I mean, everyone at some point in time is going to disobey their parents, right? I mean, that's just human nature. We're gonna do that, but most of us learn a valuable lesson if we do it enough, then we finally stop doing it as much, right? That's kind of what we're going to talk about today. The title of the message today is "It's Easier When You Do It God's Way."
Amen.
Amen. I mean, God loves us. Jesus loves us tremendously, but He's got a plan for us. He's got a will for our lives, and if we will do it His way, we're going to save ourselves from a lot of heartache. We're going to save ourselves from a lot of trouble and a lot of trials down the road. Now, that doesn't mean trials aren't going to come. They're going to come. But they won't come necessarily because of our disobedience. They're going to come to grow us. There's a difference there. A disobedient trials, to me, are a lot worse than the trials we encounter as we just grow and mature as a believer. Because, guys, I'm going to be honest with you. When you directly disobey God's will in your life, you're going to face consequences. And as we're going to read today, many of you are familiar with the story of Jonah. I'm just going to kind of set the tone just a little bit here before we read the scripture. Jonah was commissioned by God to go and bring a message to the king at Nineveh. Well, as most people would think, when God commissions you to do something, let me kind of try to compare what God was asking him to do. That would be kind of like, to Jonah, that would be almost like God asking us to go and bring a message to North Korea right about now. Amen? In other words, Jonah was like, wait a minute, God, these people are crazy over here. This is a crazy area here.
I might have
kinfolks
over there so watch.
Where, in Nineveh?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Weezy's got some kin in Nineveh, so anyway. But this is what God was wanting him to do. You know, sometimes we get disobedient out of fear. Anybody ever disobeyed something because you're a little afraid about doing what it was you needed to do? Sometimes we become disobedient out of fear. Let me tell you something about fear, though. Fear is one of Satan's greatest tools. Fear is what Satan can help bring into the life of a believer and cause them to go completely down a different path. We get scared. Even though God has told us countless times in His Word that He's going to take care of us, He's not going to leave us, He's not going to forsake us, but we still get fearful sometimes, don't we? We are afraid of the unknown. God's already got our life mapped out, amen?
Amen.
He already knows the beginning, the middle, and the end of it. We only see the past and what we're experiencing right now today. We can't see down the road. Jonah, when God commissioned him to do this, all he could see was fear. God, those people are crazy. I may get killed there. Let me weigh my options real quick. Out the door he went. So we're going to talk about this morning what the cost of disobedience is and why it's easier when you do it God's way from the start. Just do it His way. You know, maybe there's been times in our life where we didn't do what our boss told us to do. And guess what? You wake up unemployed. It's never a good idea to tell your boss you're not going to do something. If you do that enough, eventually you're going to be out of a job. So you see, disobedience brings consequences. And that's what I want us to understand today. We cannot continue to disobey, whether it's our parents, whether it's our job, whatever it is, especially God, without facing consequences. They're going to come. You're going to have these consequences. Whatever the situation, guys, it is always best to be obedient to God's call, as well as to parents and employers along the way also. Be obedient. I believe, guys, that anytime God calls us to do something, there are three things that are going to happen. And I believe that's what I want to talk about this morning. How did these three things play out in Jonah's life? Here's the first one. I believe, first of all, we're going to receive the mission. We're going to receive the mission from God. Okay? God's going to tell us. He's going to direct us as to what it is He wants us to do. For those who have ever been called into ministry, Brother Andy can maybe attest to this with me. You start having that feeling. You know, you can't really put your finger on it, but you know God's... I knew when I got out of college that God was calling me to one day be a pastor. But I completely shut that idea out of my mind. I knew that He had a calling on me. So, you know what? God in His wisdom and mercy, He didn't immediately just say, "You're not going to be a preacher. I'm going to smack you down on the ground right now." He didn't do that. You know what He did instead? He grew me through other avenues of ministry. I've been doing FCA, Vicki and I, for about 25 years now. He grew us into ministry so that then the calling would be something that I would recognize and I would be more apt to say, "You know what, Lord, I'm ready for that. I want to do that." Because if you'd have told me when I got out of college that I was going to pastor a church one day, I would have laughed right in your face. Because some of you that might have known me when I was back in college, there was nothing preacherly about me, amen? Let me just say that. There was not much preacherliness. Is that a word? It is today, amen. It is going to be today, amen. There was not a whole lot of that evident in my life. I knew I was saved, don't get me wrong. But I had gone down some wrong paths. But God never let go of me and His hold He had on me and His direction He had on me. Guys, God's got a plan for you. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
God's got a plan for you, and the only person that will mess that plan up along the way is you. If God is moving you in a direction, He's got it all mapped out. He's going to put people in your lives to help you get from point A to point B. He's going to put situations in your path that are going to help you out. And He's going to bring about the right circumstance. Never, ever worry about God's doing His part. You don't have to worry about that. That's going to be taken care of. The thing we got to be concerned with is obedience. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. So you see, the first thing you're going to do, you receive the mission. The next thing you're going to do is respond to the mission that God has in store for you. And then, of course, the third and final thing that you'll receive because of this is either the reward or punishment based on completion of the mission. So we've got to be called, we've got to act, and then we'll either be rewarded or punished based on what we chose to do. We're going to look at this scripture real quick. I'm going to ask those of you who can, if you will, stand to your feet in honor of reading God's word. We're going to read a few verses out of Jonah chapter 1. Beginning with verse 1, it says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.' But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried, 'Every man unto his God,' and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, 'What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not.' And they said, 'Everyone to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us.' So they cast lots,
and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may calm down unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. Father God, we just ask now, Lord, you add your blessing to the reading of your word. Lord, let nothing I say the next few minutes be about me, but let it be all about you, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Let's look at the call here for a minute. If we look at verses 1 and 2, it says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. God called Jonah to go to Nineveh. He called him to go to Nineveh. Nineveh was a bad place. There was a lot of ungodliness that was going on there. And God is saying to Jonah, hey, listen to me now. I want you to cry out on behalf of me against this city. You go and you address the king and you let him know exactly how I feel. To which Jonah politely did not respond except to haul it out of there and leave. We're going to talk about that in just a minute here. Guys, one thing we got to all understand here is that when God calls us to something, we don't need to be afraid of the mission. We don't need to be afraid about the mission that we're going to be called into and we're going to go on. God is going to prepare the way. A lot of people like to use the excuse, well, I'm not good at that. I don't think I'll be good at that. Let me tell you something. The reason churches are floundering today is because of that thought process. You don't have to be gifted necessarily in all areas to serve. You don't have to have a college education to serve. You don't even have to have much of any kind of education to serve. All you got to have is a willing, obedient heart to serve. The reason things don't get done in churches like they should be getting done is because people aren't willing to serve. You know, you got 5 or 10 people on board, you got 25 people that want something done but won't get on board. Amen? Guys, Jonah was not willing to serve at that moment in time. He said, God, this mission's too great for me. He didn't really cry out and say that, but that's what he was thinking. Guys, when God is calling you to greatness, never turn around and look back. Never look back. You look forward. You look to where God is taking you and you move in that direction. Amen. You see, that's what Jonah should have done. Jonah's correct response would have been to God, God, I'll be happy to do that. You know why? Because I know you're the God of this world and you're going to take care of me. Amen. You're going to take care of me. I don't have to worry about these evil people. But no, he was scared. You know, God's going to move us to action in various areas of our lives throughout our lives. And I want to tell you this, anytime we receive a calling from God and we prayed about it and understand that it truly is God calling us, we don't need to be worried. We need to be prepared to act on it. Jonah didn't need to be worried or concerned. He didn't need to know, he didn't need to show any of those things. Because anytime that call is issued, we can be assured that God has already worked out the details. God's already worked out the details. It's going to be taken care of. God, I don't have enough money to go. Done. Taken care of. I already took care of that. Lord, I don't have a place to stay. Don't worry about it. You'll have it when you get there. Lord, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. Don't worry. I'm going to help you. God's going to help you in anything he calls you into. You know, when I first got into education, I never got up and taught kids. I never got up in front of people and did a lot of speaking. But you know, I had that feeling come over me. I knew this is what God wanted me to do. So you know what I said? Okay, God, here I am. This is as good as it gets. Take me and use me and help me to be the kind of person you want me to be in this role. And that's kind of what I've done as a pastor. I'm not perfect by any means. There's things I need to probably do better or differently. I just every day say, God, mold me. I'm a piece of clay. Mold me.
I'm going to do what you've asked me to do. And I'm going to continue to do that. So, guys, if we're moldable, God can do great things with us. If we're not willing to be molded, however, we're going to always find an excuse for why we can't do something. Guys, we need some fresh clay in this world today, amen? We need people that are willing to be molded and willing to be shaped and willing to be obedient to God's call. Amen. That's what we need. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
We need people like that. You see, God's got the details. All Jonah needed to do was be obedient to God's call. The second thing that's going to happen whenever we're commissioned here is this. We respond to the mission that we've been set forth with. We got to respond to it. Now, when Jonah received the call to go to Nineveh in verse 3, here's what it says. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So you see, when Jonah received the call to go, he chose to run away. He chose to run away. I want to ask you this question. How many of you are running away from something you believe God is calling you to do? Because I'm going to tell you something, guys. You can't outrun God. Amen?
Amen.
You can run, but you cannot hide. You can run, but you cannot outrun Him. You should be running to Him and not away from Him. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
You should be running to Him. Don't run away from Him. Guys, if you spend the majority of your life coming up with reasons and excuses why you're not capable to serve, then your life is never going to be fulfilled. Your life is never going to be full of what God wants it to be full of. You're just going to be empty. You're going to at the end of the day think, you know what, there's just something missing. I'm just not satisfied. People who are disobedient to God, who don't follow God's will, usually when they come home at the end of the day, it's just like, oh well, this is just another boring day, or I hate my job, or I hate what I'm doing. Guys, if you're in God's will, you can't wait to get up the next day. You can't wait to go out and serve Him. That's how you know you're obedient to God's call in your life. Now, there's plenty of days that I'm sitting there thinking, man, I don't know if I want to face all these kids today. I don't feel too good. Amen? And they better not say one word today or I'm going to jump down their throat. Amen? But you know what? I still look forward to going.
Amen.
You know, last year, I'm gonna say this because I'm proud of myself for this. For the first time in my 30-year career, I had perfect attendance last year. You know why? Because for the first time in many, many, many years, I really understood what God's calling was all about in my life. You know, I look for excuses why not to go to school sometimes because I don't like the administration. I don't like the way things are going. You know what? God took care of that. God brought in some great people. I love where we're at now. I love where we're going. And now I want to be there every day. I don't care what we have to face. But you see, there were times where I was trying to make excuses myself for not wanting to go in certain times. Vicki can attest to it. There were some years where, ooh, okay, we'll just leave it at that. Amen. Let's just say I was, you know, saying, God, are you sure? I know I've been in this 25, 26 years now, but is this where you really want me to be? But God always confirmed and always told me. But you see, Jonah chose to run away. He knew that Nineveh was a rough place and he feared that he might be killed if he went there. So instead of heading to Nineveh as God had commanded him to do, he found a ship that was headed to Tarshish, heading out in the opposite direction. He ran away. He ran away from God. How many of you in here right now, you don't have to raise your hand, but think about this. How many of you run from something God's called you to before? Think about it. You ran away from something God was calling you to. I know you'd be good at working with this group of people. I know you'd do good helping out with this part in your church. I know you could sing and get up here and help the choir out, but you ran from it. You ran from, you know why? Because you're leaning on your understanding. You're not leaning on His understanding. You're trying to reason yourself into not doing something. And guess what? You can always convince yourself why not to do something, can't you? But when you let go and you let God have control of your life, you're going to want to please the Master, amen? You're going to want to please God. You're going to want to do and be all that you can be for Him. You know why? Because God created you in His own image. God loves you. God loves all of us in this room right here today, despite our faults. You know, that's the awesome thing about grace, isn't it? Jesus' blood has covered us forever. Those of us that know Him.
We don't have to be perfect in everything that we do, because we can't be. We're saved by His grace. We're going to make mistakes. But if we're obedient to Him, you're going to live a fulfilled life.
I can promise you that. If you believe that, say amen. If you follow God's directive in your life, you will live a fulfilled life.
By the time you draw nigh to the end of your life, you will be able to look back and say, you know what, God? I gave it all I had. I did everything I think You wanted me to do. I may not have done it exactly the way everybody wanted me to do it, but I tried to do it the way You wanted me to do. And that's all we can ask for. That's all any of us can ask for, is to do what God's called us to do. So you see, he found that ship headed to Tarshish, so he boarded it with the intention of fleeing from God. He was fleeing from God, running away. Guys, it's never advisable to run from God. Anytime we run from God, we're setting ourselves up to face God's hand of discipline at some point in time in our life. I have faced it. I don't like it. So you know what that made me aware of? I'm going to start doing what God wants me to do. I don't want to get disciplined by God in the way sometimes He chooses to discipline. You know what? He was prepared to destroy Nineveh. That's one of the things. See, Jonah realized some of this stuff. He's like, ooh, I think God's ready to get rid of these people. They're evil people. They're disobedient. Now He wants me to go there and prepare the way for their destruction. So I'm getting the heck out of here. I'm getting on this ship and I'm headed out of here, Lord. Woo-hoo, You ain't setting me up today. So you see, these were bad people. Guys, it's far better for us to faithfully do as God's leading us to do. Jonah allowed his fear to overrule his better judgment. He allowed his fear to overrule his better judgment. How many times have you not done something because you were fearful of failing? I've used this example before and I'm going to use it again right now today. Jonas Salk, who came up with the vaccine for polio. There were 200 unsuccessful attempts before he got that vaccine right. People ask him about it. They say, well, how did you feel about failing 200 times before you got it right? You know what he told them? I didn't fail. I just learned 200 ways not to create a polio vaccine. That's a good way to think about it, isn't it? I discovered 200 ways that it would not work until I finally got the one that did. That's the kind of attitude we need to have when we're serving God. God, I'm not a perfect vessel, but I'm a moldable one. You keep molding me. You keep creating in me what You want, and I'm going to keep doing it the best way I can possibly do it. It may not always be the perfect way. It may not always be the right way sometimes. But as long as you're willing, God will work in your life. Fear is one of the greatest tools that Satan uses against us. And now the final point I want to make today is this. We receive the call, we act upon the call, and then we're either rewarded or punished based on our actions. As Jonah was hiding out in that ship, the Lord sent this great wind upon the sea. And I mean, when I picture this, I picture this boat just rocking back and forth. They were afraid it's fixing to get tore in two. And ships back in those days were not built out of steel like they are today. They're not these big, huge vessels capable of withstanding heavy winds and tumultuous seas and stuff like that. So you see, that mighty wind was coming. The other men on the ship began to toss cargo into the sea. They were tossing things out to try to make the ship lighter. Because the more weight it had, the more probability it was going to break in two. So here they are just throwing their provisions overboard. Once the men discovered Jonah downstairs, and what did the Bible say, Jonah? Jonah's down there sleeping. Sleeping while everybody else is panicking about to get tore apart in the ship. He's down there sleeping. Isn't that just like a knothead? I mean, you want them to help out. You want them to pitch in and help out and try to solve the problem. They're down there. Sound asleep. Hey, guess what? We got some of that going on in churches today, don't we, Brother Andy? We got some people who are castaways sleeping way outside the confines of the church. Oh, they got all the answers, but when it comes down to putting the rubber to the road, oh man, I'm going to go hide out down below there. I'll let somebody else worry about that. Just let me complain about it a little while.
then I'll be okay.
So you see, here's Jonah who caused this whole thing to happen. Where's he? He's asleep down below, hiding out in the side of the ship. So as soon as they find him, they get him up there and they're like, man, you better be praying to your God. Now see, these were pretty much ungodly people that were on that boat. They had their own gods they were praying to. But guess what? They came to know the real God by the time it was over. They were saying to him, oh Lord, we learned a lesson here today. We're going to sacrifice some things to you because we saw your power today. Because guess what Jonah told them? Jonah said this. He said, pick me up and throw me into the sea and it will become calm. In verse 12. So they told him to pick him up, throw him into the sea, and the sea would become calm because it was because of him that the storm was there. Guys, it's because of things in life that our lives are in the mess they're in sometimes. It's because of situations in our life that we're not being obedient to that we have these storms, we have these winds, we have these waves crashing into us. But guess what? We have control over that. We are choosing to be disobedient to God when we walk out and leave. We're choosing that. God wants us to be in line with Him. He wants us to follow Him. Now, once Jonah was thrown overboard, that sea became just as calm as it could be. Now, can you imagine? Here's these guys all here praying to this God and that God and the other God. And then Jonah says, I'm a Hebrew. I serve the God. And if you'll throw me overboard, your life will be back to normal. As soon as they did, sea calm right now. Can you imagine what was going on in their minds? They knew that God was for real, didn't they? How many of you realize God's real in your life?
Amen.
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 God's real. He's not some fictitious storybook character like some people like to claim the Bible is. It's just this fictitious book about a man named Jesus and about God and then all these fairy tales about him. That's not what this is. A book of truth. Amen.
Amen.
This is a book of truth. This is a book for you to live your life by. And when we ignore the truths of God's word and we contort them and distort them, then we're making a mockery of God's word. And Galatians chapter 6 verse 7 clearly says, God shall not be mocked.
Amen.
For whatsoever man soweth, that also shall he reap. See, Jonah reaped what he sowed. And he reaped it quick. You know, most of the time we reap what we sow more than we sow later than we sow. He reaped it pretty much instantaneously because that's how in tune God was with him. He wasn't going to give him a few months to ponder over this thing and then face some consequences. Well, you know what? Here's God. Even though we disappoint him, even though we break his heart, even though we're doing exactly the opposite a lot of times of what he wants us to do, what does he do? He loves us anyway. We can't do enough to make God quit loving us. You come as you are. We're all filthy rags in His sight. You come to Jesus brokenhearted. You come to Him with a world of problems. You come to Him with addictions. You come to Him hooked on this and that and the other. Guess what? He'll love you and accept you no matter what condition you're in. Amen? If more people just understood that. Now I'm going to tie that into what I'm saying right here. God could have just let Jonah float around out there in the sea. Big old shark come up and beat it, tear his legs off. Amen. That's graphic, I know. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. But he could have just left him out there and said, Jonah, you've reaped what you've sowed, buddy. Now you float around and bob around out here and see how long you last. No, what did God do? God loved him. God already knew the future. God already knew what was going to happen here. And he sent this big fish to come swallow up Jonah. And guess what? He stayed in the belly of that fish for 3 days until he finally came around to his senses and basically said, you know what, God, you're right. I was wrong. Fish bit him up on land. Can you imagine being vomited out of the mouth of what most likely would have been a whale? That would be disgusting, wouldn't it? Think of all the fish that thing had eaten and you down in there with it for 3 days. But anyhow, he gets barfed up on land. That was graphic too. I'm sorry. Okay. Anyhow, he gets put back out on land. And basically, once God knew Jonah would be obedient, he made the fish get rid of him. And then Jonah goes to Nineveh like he'd been commissioned. God gives him a second commissioning to go to Nineveh as he'd instructed him before. But this time Jonah says, I'm on the way, Lord. I'm headed that way. And guess what? When he gets there, the king had already realized how terrible they were, and he was crying out to God already. Here's Jonah running away, about killed everybody in his path, thinking that this king's going to kill him when he comes and brings this message. God had already taken care of that. And when God realized that these people were repentant, he said, you know what? I'm going to spare this place. Isn't that what God does with us? He spares us each and every day that he gives us another day to live. In the hopes that we're going to get our life straightened out. In the hopes that we're going to move in the direction he wants us to move. In the hopes we're going to accept his son Jesus as our Savior. Aren't you glad we serve a patient God for now? Because if he wasn't patient and he didn't love us enough, I mean, he could have already come back. We could already be in heaven right now. Let me just bring some reality to you here as I close out today. How many of you have been saved within the last 3 years? Raise your hand if you've been saved and baptized in the last 3 years. Look at the people that have their hands up. What if Jesus had come back 5 years ago? You ever thought about that? What if Jesus had come back 5 years ago? Everybody just raise their hand right now would be in hell. That's the reality of it, guys. We don't have forever. We don't have forever to get right with God and follow him and obey him. We only have the allotted amount of time God's given us, and he's the only one that knows what that is. Don't you want to serve somebody who can do nothing but good for you? We serve enough people in our lives who do us harm. They lead us down the wrong path. We listen to them and we don't benefit from them. But you listen to Jesus, you're going to benefit. You're going to move in the right direction. I want to encourage each of you today to be obedient to God's call in your life. Guys, it's never a good idea to run from God. Because he knows our every thought. He knows our every action before we commit it. He's looking for obedient workers. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. And that's what we're called to be. We're called to be servants. Servants. And that's what Jesus did. His whole earthly ministry, what did he do? He served. He served. He washed the feet of the people. They're like, man, why are you washing my feet? I need to be washing yours. No, why? Because he was a servant. Because he was doing his Father's will. And I want to encourage each and every one of us to do that here today. Guys, if we're obedient to God's call in our lives, God will pave the way and he'll make sure that we're taken care of as we set off to do his will. Don't be like Jonah. Don't have to have God's hand of discipline rain down on you. Yeah, we're going to face trials. We're going to face troubles. But we don't have to do it because of disobedience. See, there's a difference there. Some of us are setting ourselves up for God's hand of judgment. Why? Because we continue to live our life like, oh, I'm doing the right thing. When in reality, no, we're not doing the right thing because we're not being submissive to God. We've got to resist the devil and he will flee. It tells us in the book of James chapter 4. We've got to do that. Don't let the ploys of the devil keep you from being all you can be for God. Resist him. He will flee. Don't let his fear overcome you to the point where you lose your better judgment like Jonah did. Guys, I've got great thoughts about our church here. I believe that if everybody will be submissive to God's will and that if everybody will work, we will see nothing but great things happen to this church.
Amen.
I believe it. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
If you're willing to be a part of that, say amen and mean it.
Amen.
Amen. That's what it's going to take, guys. It's an effort. It's a group effort. We either all are obedient if possible. And I know everybody's not going to be always obedient. But if we can all say we want to be obedient to God's call, then God's going to do great things here. He's going to do great things in this association if we can get people on board with what we're trying to do for the kingdom.
Amen.
That's what it takes, guys. Lean not on your own understanding. Because, guys, if you try to rationalize things and you try to figure out things yourself, you're going to set yourself up for disappointment. You're going to set yourself up for failure. You know why? Because God created us. He knows our flaws. He knows our weaknesses. while we are yet weak, He is strong. Amen. He can help you get to the point He wants you to be. Get to where He wants you to be. You just got to be willing. You got to be submissive. And most of all, guys, be obedient. I bet it didn't take you long when you were growing up to disobey your parents before you finally got the picture. Amen. You didn't do the same thing two or three times. I believe in instilling the fear of God one time and do it with very much seriousness. Amen. And if you do it that one time real serious, then those kids are going to step back and think the next time, was it worth that? Right. Guys, don't make God have to discipline you because of disobedience. He loves you. He loves us all here today. He just wants our heart. He wants to be able to mold us into that vessel that He wants us to be. Father God, I thank You, Lord, for this day. I thank You for the stories that we read about people such as Jonah, Lord, who, although he was disobedient, God still loved him anyway. You still loved him, Father. And Lord, I just pray that You'll help us. If we got any areas of disobedience in our life, I pray that as we open up this altar this morning, we may come and just lay that down before You. Lord, I'm praying for a renewing of our minds and our spirits. Lord, I'm praying we will be ready for the task You have for us at hand. God, that we will be obedient vessels. Lord, and that we will not run from opportunities, but we will run to them and to You. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today that needs to accept You as their Savior, that they'll do so before it's too late. I thank You for those who have accepted You as their Savior over the years here that I've been a privilege of being a part of. Lord, it's a wonderful thing when someone comes to know You and when it's really meaningful in their life and when they really change and you notice that change. And it's just a great feeling to see, Lord. And God, I thank You for each and every person here today, Lord. Help them to just be able to lay their burdens down and to move forward. And I just pray that we'll have a great rest of this day, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What are we singing? 607. Let's stand and sing hymn number 607.